Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk. KKFT.
John Potter, live and local. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. We have a segment with, let me start by telling you folks, if you haven't heard, and it's news to me, fresh raw foods for pets is a $45 to $60 billion industry in this country for excellent reason. In the studio, we have Mark Leese, who is the exclusive dealer in Northern Nevada for First Source Pet Foods. The website, if you want to take a look at it, firstsourcepetfoodsreno.com. And Mark Leese. Hi, Mark.
Hey, John.
Hey. And Mark brought along Dr. Michelle Brim. Dr. Brim runs a animal clinic in Fernley. It's called Moffitt Animal Clinic. Folks might be familiar with it in Fernley, and she is here because she became a customer of the First Source Pet Foods, the raw pet foods. Doctor, you grew up on a farm. I mean, you lived with animals, right?
I did. I grew up on a family farm where we grew our own food and butchered our own meat.
Yeah. And Mark, how is this business going? Well, actually, let me ask the first question. Why is it important that folks out there, why is it important our beloved pets should eat this product, First Source Pet Foods?
So the question, John, is why would they want to eat raw?
Yes, and why would they eat raw?
And that's really, I'm going to throw that at Dr. Brim because she's got 25 years of raw feeding experience like me, but she's also got the academic and academic background that supports that stuff as well.
What is in this stuff? what ingredients are in these, Mark?
It's what they call a prey diet. So it's basically the muscle meat, the organ meat, the bones of whatever, we're talking beef, venison, duck, chicken. It's the components of that animal.
You know, I give my pets, my three cats, up to now, you gave me some samples of yours, but up to now, I've been giving them the traditional dry pet food, and they get a treat, which is a gravy packet. I have no idea what's in these, like, packets. They have these, with the gravy, they have these solid things, but it's like soy or something. I have no idea. They won't touch it. They don't like it. But apparently, it's so cheap to put into a cat treat that that's what the companies are marketing and selling people. I don't think it's any nutritional value. Anyway, Dr. Brim, tell me about what you think of the product and why you became a customer yourself.
Well, thank you. I started feeding raw 25 years ago when nobody really knew about it, and that's when I started getting interested in holistic medicine. And the research that I did about feeding raw, just it seemed to make sense that that's what animals should be eating. Now, not all animals will tolerate a raw food, but I think it's certainly healthy, much healthier than kibble food.
So this has been around for a while? Wow.
The folks that I distribute the product from, they started doing raw food in 1979. Mm-hmm. And so they were raising greyhounds back in Georgia. They couldn't find a food that would really support their dogs. So they were already raising beef, and they started producing their own dog food.
Mark, how did you start getting involved in this? And tell the story about the pet's teeth cleaning bill.
Oh, so we've had Airedales pretty much since we got married back in 1988. But my first vet bill for my male Airedale came to $1,000 to have his teeth cleaned, and it just made me crazy. After about 4 years old, it turns out dogs' teeth will probably need cleaning about once a year, once every 2 years, and I said, you know, there has to be a better way, and so I started doing my research, mm-hmm. and at least from what I found out, it seems that the enzymes in raw food tend to not allow plaque and tartar formation.
Well, I definitely believe the $1,000 dog dental bill, okay? And I mean, that's the charges out there, but the food does directly affect the teeth. And so the raw pet food, without its strange things in it and its preservatives and everything, the teeth, would you say, Dr. Brim, that you believe that you would not get a $1,000 dental bill with this product?
What I see in everyday veterinary medicine, everything that comes in the door, yes, I would agree that animals fed kibble or a processed canned food definitely accumulate dental disease much faster than animals that are on a raw food diet.
Now, here's what I hear with the raw pet food, because I looked into this. I saw the comments people are making on the internet. What is this deal about the poop doesn't stink with... And folks, I apologize if you're having breakfast. I say this all the time. But this is what I'm hearing and reading. Mark, tell us, is this true?
It is. It has been in my experience. You know, we started feeding, like I said, around 25 years ago. And I didn't know about the poop. But it turns out that not only it doesn't stink, but it also it dries up and literally turns to dust. It's amazing.
Well,
it's the ash left after food is digested. So correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the tests for maybe digestibility or nutrient content is to burn a food, calculate the calories it produces, and what's left is the ash that's not digestible. That's the end product.
Well,
so
you would characterize this, though, as a health food product for pets, right?
Absolutely.
You absolutely means like makes it has a big effect.
It has in my experience. I have fed a raw food diet to my dogs for 25 years. I started feeding it when I wasn't aware of a commercial product.
I wasn't either.
So I would go and butcher my own food, my own meat, mm-hmm. and feed that to my dogs.
We love our dogs and cats.
Absolutely.
We love them. We want to give them the best. Economically, is the cost, I hate to bring this up, because food gets expensive too. How is this priced?
So most people, when they look at the raw foods space, they do what's called DIY, do it yourself. So they'll go to the grocery store and they'll buy chicken, mostly chicken, but, you know, other proteins. And they'll prepare the food at home for their animals, cats, dogs, whatever. But that's how we started out, was DIY. And it can get expensive. I mean, you can spend up to, these days, probably $6, $7 a pound to make your own raw food. The product we have, because it's produced in a high production facility, and it's direct from the supplier, you can get on a good, healthy, raw diet for under $4 a pound.
Because as a distributor, you're buying in bulk, right?
Bulk, and okay. Yes, and they're producing in bulk.
So this raw pet food doesn't have to be cooked?
Nope. No cooking.
Well, that's awesome. And many, now not just you, Dr. Brim, but many veterinarians are supporting this and promoting it?
I'm not sure I would say many.
Okay. The ones into nutrition, I guess we should say, right?
Yeah. And more holistic veterinarians do, just because they understand the value of
it. We want our pets to last a long time, you know? All right. Well, let's get to how people can try out this product themselves. Mark, what do you have for them?
So our website, firstsourcepetfoodsreno.com. Or you can call us, 775-846-8529. Happy to take calls and talk about the raw diet and moving to a raw diet. I'd really like to reach out to the people that are doing the DIY. If they're making this food at home and, for their pets, we can really help them out. We can give them a safe, affordable product.
Can the typical American kitchen handle this? I mean, this is a little frozen product, and you let it thaw out and
Correct.
Then feed it to the pets.
Yep.
So there's no cooking involved. You just let it thaw out, and that's their dinner.
Generally speaking, when you cook food mm-hmm. and you give it to a, for instance, most dogs, I would say pretty much, would you say all dogs can tolerate raw chicken?
I wouldn't say that. There are some dogs that have chicken allergies.
Yeah, we don't know what they do with some of these chickens.
Some dogs that probably wouldn't tolerate.
Well, forget the allergies. I'm just talking about being able to digest. If they were to catch a chicken in the wild,
oh yeah,
they can digest that chicken and chicken bone. Mm-hmm. If you cook the chicken, the bones will splinter. It can possibly penetrate the trachea or hurt the dog.
And some of these chickens that I buy taste like they add salt or something to it, and that's not good for pets at all. All right, so go to the website, folks, if you're interested. It's firstsourcepetfoodsreno.com. Firstsourcepetfoodsreno.com. Anything else, Mark? Dr. Brim? You done it. I can hear people clicking right now. And how many different raw food products do we have here? Is there a selection of different, or are they all chicken?
No. So there's 9 unique proteins with bone. So we've got venison, duck, turkey.
No kidding. Really?
Chicken, beef.
Oh, man, they'll be living like kings.
One of the benefits of this particular line of product is that the 9 unique proteins give people a chance to rotate the proteins for their animal give them a nice variety.
Excellent. It's been awesome talking to you. I have more questions, but we're going to have you back next Saturday to talk about that. And that's when we're going to open up the phone lines and have people ask questions about your raw pet foods. Wow. Okay, that sounds very authentic. I love it. FirstSourcePetFoodsReno.com. And you gave me some samples to try. I can't wait to tell you how it's going. I'm going to give them the first full week, those 3 cats. I got one who's super picky. So if you win that cat over, 4 stars from me. It's great having you guys over here. I'm John Potter. It's going to be Open Topic from here on out to noon. 884-9910 is our number. Local topics, any topics. Have a little fun too here. 884-9910. Call or text. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 1118.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter live and local. It's 1122. Phone number 775-884-9910. Let's go to Nick calling from Smith Valley. Nick, good morning. I'm so glad you called. Go ahead.
Hi, John Potter. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't want to talk about the young kids and their guns. We used to carry guns on in our pickup after we went duck hunting in Smith Valley. Then we went to school, and our guns would be in the back window of the truck. And it was no big deal. Everybody knew what was going on. And now they want to stop these kids from having guns. Well, they can go to war, can't they, at 17?
Yes. Now, I did this story a couple of weeks ago. There's something in the Nevada legislature, another regulation about giving kids shotguns or something like that? You can't do that till they turn 21. Was that the story?
Yeah.
I mean, and... You know, that's a rite of passage if you're as old as I am, especially in rural areas down on the farm. The kids would have a little 22 rifle or something like that because hunting was a big thing, and it's kind of a male, especially experience, part of growing up. So, yes, there is this. I got to find out how this law is doing. I think it is the Nevada legislature that. Some, I'm sure, Democrat from Southern Nevada is proposing a new law, and it is to not allowing kids when I say kids, I mean under 21, I think, and not quite a kid if you're, you know, of age or 18 or such. But I just remember the days when that was a rite of passage to have the young man have a firearm. Anything else, Nick?
Yeah, we went through this in the 70s, didn't we? They tried to limit the shotguns that we could have, and everybody said, hey, well, they go to Vietnam, don't they? You know, we're being trained to shoot guns.
Yeah, that's
when
right.
When we're 17 years old. Yeah, it failed because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a gun. You know, my family, we had property in Canada, and during the summer, we went out and target practiced and all that. It didn't turn me into some lunatic mass shooter. So I appreciate your call, Nick.
Okay, thanks.
All right, have a great day. What did I want? We had as long as we're on a topic that's a little bit downbeat, we had a depressing set of headlines in Reno this week. And where did I put those? I wrote them down. Okay, here they are. A depressing set of headlines in Reno this week. And let me read some of these headlines. No injuries, one arrested for DUI after car slams into South Reno condo complex. Here's another one. Pair of men get 60 years combined after DUI causing death convictions. Folks, those two were just yesterday. Also this week, second traffic fatality involving alleged impairment in another 24 hours discovered on Highway 89. Here's also from this week. Reno man faces DUI charge in Glenbrook fatality. This is just this week. Is it, I know we have too many of these. But is it just me, or are we seeing more of these than ever before after all of this education and public service information and crackdowns? I have little to no sympathy for drunk drivers. I'm going to just be perfectly honest with you. It's not innocent. It is a crime where you always have choice. And you always do choose, and these people choose wrong, especially in this day and age with ride shares. And look, I don't have the biggest circle of friends, but I have people in my life that even at 3 o'clock in the morning, hey, John, I'm at GSR. I'm drunk, but I just want a bunch of money, and I'll pay you gas if you come and get me. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And I would say, I would say, boy, okay, you're buying me a buffet. That just happened to me last month. And I can't act like I'm pure as the driven snow, because up to about 10 years ago, I made some terrible decisions, and I got very lucky. I did not hurt someone myself or get into much trouble at all. Nothing bad happened to me, but it was a situation where one New Year's Eve, and I think it was like 8 years ago, could have been 9 or 10. I don't like to keep track of things like that, because I kind of like to put them back in my mind and not think about it, you know, and that's why I can't give you even the year that this happened, where I got home, I don't know how, and the next day, don't know how I did it. And that was a scary wake-up call. And then I turned this new leaf after that, and that's a good thing. You know, you hit a certain age, you stop doing that crap. And it's good if you can wake up and be humble enough and smart enough to realize, what in the hell did I just do? Even if you drink alone and you're a regular at a bar, you know, it helps if you have people around you that can be like, hey, man, let me take you home, or call somebody for you. Or, dude, I'll bring you back in the morning. We'll get your car. It's all good. in my experience, at least with my friends that I've been around, when someone obviously overserved, somebody else points it out to them, and they're generally like, all right, I guess you're right. I know someone who keeps a battery-operated breathalyzer in their truck, and when he's leaving a party or something, he blows into it, and if it registers even a .05, he's not risking it. That's kind of his backup safety net. But I look back on most family holidays back in the day. I think all the uncles and dads were driving home drunk. I remember as a little kid when open container laws first got started to get put on the books. And I remember hearing people like complaining about it, like just outrage. I can't have a beer. I just worked 12 hours. I can't stop and have a beer on my way home. And then they mandated the seatbelts, and then, you know, the similar complaints about that. But I remember this image of people on a bench seat pickup truck, and they're driving on the road, and with one hand, you open the can, and you start drinking it in full view of everybody else. That was an era that was. That was just the way it was. Or these days, maybe they just hide the can, a beer better the way these statistics look lately. There are two situations in my family where an uncle and a cousin both died in single car wrecks. They were driving, and they were young men. It was night. They had been out hooting and hollering on a country road and killed themselves, just themselves. And today I wonder what your first DUI will cost you nowadays. I'm thinking plus or minus $10,000, and that's not including the cost of the lawyer. I think the lawyers are big money, right? big money. And if not killing other people isn't motivating enough for some people, money usually motivates people not to do things. Look at the ads. These lawyers have become very, very prosperous people. There's one gentleman I know as a lawyer locally. A few years ago, I'd been talking about a road trip. He sent me a pair of driving gloves, and I looked them up, and they were like $400. And I'm thinking, you know, it's very kind of you. But, you know, I forgot what you do for a living. Of course, if now I go to Harbor Freight and get some cheapies if I need new driving gloves. But the thing is, again, at the end of the day, many of us have seen tragedies. You don't have to look far. I go by a place, I think, about once a week, every night, maybe 30 years ago or so. A couple, two people in separate vehicles are leaving a baseball game, and some drunk is going the wrong way on McCarran and Clearacre, coming down the hill from Clearacre. Husband's in the first vehicle, wife is in the second vehicle. Wrong way driver comes over the crest of a hill. Husband swerves out of the way. The drunk driver crashes right into his wife, and she dies there on the side of the road. This was like 1977, I want to say, and it was right by where I lived, on Clearacre. Husband has this whole experience where he ends up praying with a deputy, and the deputy's comforting him, and the deputy says, "Do you want to pray?" And so they knelt down right there on the shoulder of the road, and together they prayed. And shortly after that, they came out and they said she passed away. And his heart was broken for the rest of his life. And the thing is, just I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, some drunk smashed into my apartment building and destroyed the apartment right below me on Clearacre. This is when they first built those apartments. And that was my first home in Reno, Clearacre, up by McCarran. And I'm thinking, because I had just moved here, what kind of town is this? But it's that prevalent still. And anyway, almost every day I drive by that place where, you know, that accident crash happened, where because of drunk driving, this guy lost his sweetheart and their life got blown up. And for a while they had a little cross, you know, with some rocks around it there. And when it wore down or disappeared, the husband would come back and he'd put up a new one. He would practically tend to it every month because drinking and driving, it's a selfish decision, 100 100%. And I cringe when I think about my life the way it was 8, 9, 10 years ago. I'm very lucky and very blessed. And I guess you have to listen to the old guy tell you if you don't realize it yourself. I am such a lightweight now. We just bought a pet stroller, and we walked the two pets in the pet stroller, and I found this old can of beer. I mean, I haven't had a drink for weeks, and it was sitting there getting old, and I took it along. I put it on the pet stroller, and we're walking around the block in our neighborhood, and I'm sipping on the beer, and we get home. The beer is half full, and that was it for me. I didn't want the other half. I just tossed it away. You get somehow very smart at the old age. Something to look forward to. Wow, I've gone way over. I'm so sorry about that, Craig. Didn't look at the clock. It's 11:35. Going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:35.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
John Potter, live and local, 884-9910 is the number. Oh, they gave up, huh, Craig? Okay, I was going to take that call. Anyway, somebody on the text, when I was talking about DUIs and that awful fatalities that we had in 1977 there on Clear Acre, which is where nearby where I lived. Somebody asking, were you there when the deputy was praying with the husband at the side of the road? No. Now, I'll tell you how this happened. I came to town to do a morning radio show in 1977 at KCBN, and I did the news on my own radio show. It was like a one-man show, and I had to do the news on it, too. Now, me doing the news on this radio show did not last. For one very embarrassing reason, I'll tell you later. But saw what we used to do back in the day for news is if you had a morning shift, you would go to the police station, which was there on 2nd Street in 77, and you would the police officers would hand you over the docket of reports, police reports, and each police report would be on a sheet, and you'd go into a room and you would go through these police reports, and you'd do handwriting, copying off, not even the copying machine, you would copy off the facts of things that happened in Reno over the past, say, 18 hours, and there'd be somebody from another radio station there doing this also at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then you'd go to the station, you'd write the news, and when this story came up, and I saw the whole story about this terrible thing where the man lost his wife, I asked to interview that deputy, and the deputy on that interview told me that story, and very true and very heartbreaking. As for the person who plowed into the apartment below me 2 weeks after that terrible event, that lady... She was the resident of the apartment she drove into. She had a snoot full of booze at the Shy Clown, and it scared the hell out of me. I thought the building was going to collapse, smash the car right into the building. Anyway, let's move on. John calling from Sparks. Hey, John, I'm so glad you called. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, John, go ahead.
No, this is Joe.
Okay. Hey, Joe, how's it going? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. No, nice to talk to you, John. Thanks for taking my call. I had a remedy for drunken driving the day I met my wife. I took her out for a nice dinner. And before dinner, we were sitting there and I said to her, would you like to have a drink before dinner? And she said to me, I can't drink. I'm allergic to alcohol. And if you ever do get the meter, that's a true story. And I, when she said that to me, I lost my breath and I just looked at her and I said, will you marry me? Because I figured if I could have a designated driver and a wife, the same person, and she was a cheap date because she didn't drink.
I have never heard of somebody allergic to alcohol. Is that a thing? Is that for real, or was that just a line?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you were to take rubbing alcohol and just rub it, let's say, on her cheek, it would turn red and it would swell up.
What?
Yeah. She's allergic to alcohol. Yeah.
First I ever heard of that. Holy cow, Joe.
Well, God for that.
All right. Thanks for the call, my friend. Take care.
All right, Johnny. Good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Hey, Bob, let's go to Bob in Sparks. Bob, good morning. I'm so glad you called. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, John. And I enjoy hearing you on the news, given the weather, et cetera. They finally put you to work, huh? So,
yeah.
Okay. The issue is it starts when I was in the fourth grade. This is during the day in the summer, and a guy backed out of a bar, and it was an old country road. It was kind of a strange place to have a bar, but it was, and he was drunk. I was riding my wagon, hit me from behind, and I had, for about a month, tire track over my chest. Fortunately, I did not have a shirt on because it was hot summer. This is back in the once great state of Pennsylvania. And otherwise, I wouldn't be here today because the shirt would have grabbed a hold and would have pulled the car or pulled me right under the wheel, and I would have been crushed. As it was, it would just drag me for about 10 feet. So after that, my sister said, you know what? Because I survived, obviously. And she said, you know, Bob, I think that God's saving you for something. Well, it didn't mean a lot to me at that time. Okay, when I was 11, all right, it was very normal where I grew up that every boy got a .22 caliber rifle. Mine was a .22 long rifle, Harrington and Richardson, H&R. And my dad told me, even though I had two older brothers and four sisters, he said, you were the only one that I felt like I could trust with a rifle. And yes, what we did on my friends, we would go out on the weekends, shoot squirrels if we could, or tin cans or what like that. Nobody ever had a problem. Matter of fact, our high school had a rifle team. And if guys were riding a bus, they got on the bus with their rifles because there was going to be a meeting of the rifle team. Okay? This is a long time ago, obviously. Okay?
Oh, well,
so now.
That's right.
Doesn't that make sense? Okay?
It does, and I think it's the media demonized firearms because, you know, they go out on their own and cause all this mayhem in schools and such. Bob, takes me back for sure. And you're right. It was a rite of passage for the kids to get that first gun and learn how to use it. And, I think more people should learn how to use it. A good time to do it.
Exactly.
All right, Bob. Exactly. Glad you called. Take care, my friend.
Talk to you later, John. Thank you.
All right. Yes. All right. We're taking our final break and back for our final segment. Phone number 884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1148.
We need to talk.
In a somewhat friendly manner.
So make the call.
A colorful call.
884-9910. News and talk, live and local. The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Oh, I am so glad that I don't have time to talk about the tariffs. Are you not talked out already? Have you heard every possible angle to these tariffs that you could possibly have four times over? Now, it is an important issue. And maybe next Saturday I'll bring it up. But I needed a break from the one news story that everybody did. I'd like to know what the rest of the news is out there, you know? I thought I'd end the show with the story of how I was taken off the air from doing news at the first radio station I worked for in Reno. It was for a very embarrassing, humiliating reason, and I'm doing this because Craig enjoys these stories about how how I was humiliated.
Just gives me reason to go take a nap.
No, you'll love this. So the story is, this ties in with the story I talked about, that fatal DUI crash on Clearacre near McCarran in 1977 that I covered on my morning radio show, where I also did the news along with the entertainment portion of the show. And I went out there, interviewed the deputy, and I remember I was doing the news on my radio show when Priscilla Ford ran down those people in downtown Reno. I think that was, 78, 79? And I was, and KCBN Radio was all over it. I mean, radio stations were a lot more full service, press and company excluded, but they were more, they aren't so much now. But I would be stationed in downtown Reno. It was shortly after that terrible disaster, and it was, I think, late afternoon. And I was down there and doing the reports, and back at the station, Palmer Stewart and Billy Stairs and I think Hollywood were managing the station coverage. And we went like 2 hours on this. And I remember being so furious that our FM station, which is now 106.3 or 106.5, the Sunny station, that was our FM station when I was at KCBN. Well, the FM station was recorded. They recorded the news. And I remember being so irate that for 24 hours, the FM station never had the Priscilla Ford story. And I was arguing. I was red in the face. I thought this was a terrible, it was a lack of service to the listening public that they did that. A lot of stations do that now. We don't. All our newscasts are live, but I remember that. But anyway, here's what happened to me and why I got thrown off doing the news duties on the morning show. I had just gotten there. I did the news on the morning radio. I thought I did a pretty good job. I remember one night I was supposed to go to a casino party. They had a lot of those back then for the media, just for the media. So after my show and after doing the news, I went home and I took a nap, and I showed up at the party, and, you know, they have a little mixer for the media before the show begins, and all my buddies are there. You know, we were buddies with the other stations and such. And when I walked in, everybody avoided me. They wouldn't even look at me. And I was standing all by myself, and I walked up to my program director and I said, "What's going on here?" He said, "Well, the Reno Gazette Journal wrote a column about you." And that's all he would say. He didn't want to humiliate me face to face. So I promptly left that mixer. I went down to a Thrifty Drug. I bought the Reno Gazette Journal. Folks who have been here a long time remember Roland Melton. Roland Melton wrote a column about this brash new DJ in the morning who did his own news, who mispronounced every single thing that in Reno. I mean, I called Paul Laxalt. I called him Paul Luxalt. And I was mortified. I was humiliated. The whole column. Now, Roland Melton was known for being a friendly grandfather type and a happy column. That was the one column Roland Melton wrote that was pissy. And he said he got the tip from Corey Farley, who was a young reporter at the arena. "Hey, you ought to listen to this kid." He called him Luxalt. And so the column started with, "You folks know KCBN. That's the station the kids listen to when their parents are too cheap to buy them an FM radio." Oh, my God. The owner of the radio station defended me to the newspaper. And the newspaper, Roland Melton, felt bad about it. So he invited me to the newspaper and interviewed me. And he did a nice column about me. But that lesson, I was so embarrassed and humiliated that to this day, when I see the new people on TV doing TV news and talking their, saying Moana, or I'm sorry, Moana and Gerlach. Wild Nevada, they call it Gerlach. When they say Genoa, when the weekend anchor at Channel 2 calls it the city of Lake Tahoe, it drives me crazy for that reason. And that's why I got so emotional a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about, you know, the news people aren't from here. They aren't Nevadans. They're all from somewhere else, and they don't know how to say it right. But I got blasted and humiliated for mispronouncing a lot of Nevada names back then, and I guess I need psychological help. I guess I have PTSD from that, and I am passing on the punishment to anybody who dares to mispronounce something in Nevada. Anyway, thankfully I'm done. Maybe they'll take me off. I hope not. I'm John Potter. Talk to you next Saturday, and I'll be doing the news for you Monday through Friday from 9 to noon on these fine radio stations, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I had fun. Hope you have a great weekend. FM News Talk time, 11:58. Bye-bye.